Blog Talk Radio.
Sister Antoinette.
I hear you. Wait 1 second. The song is playing. It's just, it's getting started.
Oh, okay.
What about sunrise? What about rain? What about dawn? You said we were to gain. What about killing fear? Is there a time? What about all things that you said was yours and mine? Did you ever stop to notice all the blood we shed before? Did you ever stop to notice this crying earth, this weeping shore?
Children dead from war.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Dry Bones Connection on Thursday night. This is Antoinette, and tonight we're going to be discussing Earth Day and Black mental illness with Brother Kwame and Sister X. Brother Kwame, you with me?
Greetings, Sister Antoinette, and happy Earth Day.
Thank you. You have Sister X with you?
No, I've been trying to connect with her, so I'm trying to wait for her to call, and we'll hook up soon as she gets online and connect
with
me. I left her a message, so I'm just going to fill in where I can fit in.
Okay, great. Well, we can start off with Earth Day.
Yeah, and Earth Day is a very good day because I had a very excellent Zoom that I was asked to be on. It was kind of spur of the moment yesterday. A sister friend of mine up in Illinois called, and they had the International Earth Day, which was the Indigenous International, Indian college. And I'm trying to remember where it was. I think it's down in New Mexico or somewhere. But anyway, they had the conference call, was a Zoom call. They had about 133 people on it. And we had people from New Zealand. We had people from Canada, South America. They had the Kogis who are up in the Andes. They're the descendants of the Mayan Incas. They live up in the mountains, and they came down, and they wasn't on the Zoom. They just talked over and had interpreters to interpret. But we talked about the four elements, you know, the earth, the air, the fire, and the water. And it was, you know, very interesting in how all the people of indigenous ancestry, and they talked about how they specifically deal with what's going on with the earth in their areas. You know, like in New Zealand, it's still pristine, and they're fighting to keep that. You have the rainforest down in the Amazon, down in South America, that they're destroying. And that was funny that you had What About Us on there. And if anyone saw the YouTube, they were showing you how they were destroying the forest and destroying the animals and causing, you know, destruction to the earth. And what we looked at in the Zoom was the different areas, but the different teachings that the indigenous people are now being sequestered to come and help them to figure out how to do what quote-unquote uncivilized people were living. Now they're figuring out they were right in the way they live with nature, because Mother Earth can always take words and make words out of other words, and the mother and Earth is standing for the energy awakening, real true healing, because our roots, real true healing, comes from Mother Earth. A lot of the medicines that we use. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Let me see.
Okay.
Sister X, are you with us?
Hello?
Yes, we have her with us. Hello, Sister X. Welcome to the show.
You got an echo.
That's because I got this phone too close to me.
Yeah. This is
in Mitchell. Okay, is it better? Hello?
Hello?
Y'all can't hear me? Shoot, my finger's locked up. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
It's still
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You have the speaker on for what you were playing the music on.
Yeah, wait a minute. I'm getting ready to see what I did. I'm just going to have to put. Can you still? Is it still here, the echo?
Yes.
I heard it. Okay. Sister X, I'm going to call you right back. Okay? I'm going to call you through the studio so it won't be an echo. Okay?
I guess she hung up.
Oh, okay. I'm going to call her through the studio. Okay, I'm sorry, Brother Kwame.
No. But, you know, it was very important that we look at that, because I got an opportunity to speak to those around the world about the Overground Railroad, what we talked about. And
yeah.
what we're looking at is the arc of the universe is built towards justice, but also that the energy that is coming from our Milky Way galaxy that is rebathing the Earth with 5 tons of new, what they call extraterrestrial dust. And
mm-hmm.
this dust is bathing this whole planet. And so what we're doing is the Earth is being seeded by cosmic dust that's coming from the meteorites and the different things falling from out of our galaxy onto the planet. But also, and my discussion was dealing with water, because in the medicine wheel, the 4 colors that are represented there are yellow, which is the east, which is the yellow people. Red represents red. Is the earth that represents the red nation. Black represents the black people. It represents the water and the consciousness. And white represents the fire. And so each element was talked about, but I spoke to the one in dealing with the black, which is the consciousness and the water, because water is very important in what we're born, we're developed in water. We are 70% water. The planet is 70% water. But the key thing about water is that even though it can be in 3 stages, it can be the liquid, it can be ice, or it can be gas. In each one of those stages, it still has a memory and a consciousness. And even finding out that teleport DNA is transported in water. So if you pollute water, and you filter it out and you clean it up, that water will still have residue of that formula that was in it, because it holds a memory. So the thing that we're looking at in water having that, and we being water and developed in the womb, in the water of the embryonic fluid and the same water that's in the ocean, it's a life force. And especially salt water, because the majority of the planet is covered by salt water, which is salt water produces electrical currents. And so we're looking at how the waters have been giving us the electrical, and now we're polluting the air with these artificial electrical currents that's counteracting the human development. And so it's just the opportunity to see, to be looking at and coming back to order with the universe, with the cosmos, and nature's order. She made it back to you yet?
Yes, she's Sister X, you with me?
I'm here.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Everyone, we're welcoming Sister X with us. And later, if she chooses to, she can tell you who she is, but
no,
that's up
was,
to her.
I was just filling in on Earth Day because she had a very important part in dealing with mental illness that's going on in our community. And greetings to you, Sister X.
Hey, greetings. I definitely agree with what you're saying as far as how deep it goes. And one thing that I was stating was I was in a conference the other day, and in that conference in mental health, they were basically talking about how they are using a certain system. Wait a minute, let me get my booklet, because I took notes and I want you guys to be educated on exactly what the system is that they use when it comes down to mental health and as far as what homeless black people need. Now, the system that they were using is a vulnerability assessment tool, and it's called VISPDAT. It's spelled VISPDAT, and they use this in order to predict trauma when it comes down to the homeless people. And this is why, see, in order for you to get certain types of resources and funding and programs that you qualify for, you have to have a very low score when it comes down to the VISTAT, which is what they call, and this is a national system that they use in America.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that white men and white women have the highest score, meaning that they are the most vulnerable. But black women score the lowest. In all actuality, black women and white women end up in homelessness for the very same reason, which is domestic violence. But black women actually score the lowest, meaning that they are not the most vulnerable. And they actually admitted during this conference that it was a bias. It was a bias. So the mental health community is now onto this, and you have a lot more people of color and power that are speaking out on this and saying, listen, we need to change the system. We need to do something about it for our black people. We need to change the system. But going to this workshop, and it was free for me. You know, my supervisor actually paid for it. And this is in Mitchell, by the way. But my supervisor actually paid for me to go to this virtual conference. It was $200 a ticket. I wasn't paying it. So I'm glad that she did, because it really showed me exactly how far and how deep and how wide white supremacy ran, even when it came down to our homeless population. And they are using tools and systems like this that are obviously biased. And another thing that people really don't bring up is, when it comes down to it, white people are dying out. They are unable to replace themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that people fail to realize and really, really fail to understand and bring about. Like, the 400 years are up already. So you see things happening that you didn't see before, and these things were already predicted. It was already stated to happen, but I want to say probably about 10 years ago, and I could be wrong, probably about 10 years ago, their population began to decline. That also brings me up to the Meghan Markle, Prince Harry debacle that's going on. He had to marry black. They needed that in their bloodline. Okay, they're having an issue with reproducing. All right. This is one of the most racist families of the 13 bloodlines. They needed that. But let's not forget, these people also interbreed. They're 13 cousins.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to ignore that. Okay. Meghan Markle is a part of the bloodline. So he married his 13 cousin. But he also needed some color in his bloodline, because normally they would not allow that. I mean, come on. They had a problem with the last chick, that the other guy married,
Diana.
Because she was poor.
Yeah.
Diana. Now, Diana was the one that they really, really wanted to take out. They obviously took her out.
Right.
And one thing about Prince Harry that I can say is, he loved his wife enough to say, you know what, let's go. Let's step away. But this was by no accident that they got married, and it was by no accident that she had color.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, these things go very, very deep. And also, during this workshop, they brought up something else, another tool that they use called DVHF, and it's about supporters of survivors of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually funded by Washington State. And it's also funded by, hello, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Hello.
Oh, really?
Hello.
Oh, my.
Hello. Now, if I was not a part of this conference, I would not know. But they are funding this when it comes down to domestic violence survivors and who gets the funding for what. Now, this is the same Bill Gates that they blocked my channel about when we were talking about him dimming the sun. The same one who allegedly put out this polio vaccine, which ended up basically preventing a whole generation of people from being able to have children. This same Bill and Melinda Gates is involved in the mental health community as well. And they are one of the main funders when it comes down to DVHF, okay? And like I said, this is a system that comes down with domestic violence and how they are supported. And we know that black women are the number one victims of domestic violence, but we don't get as much support as any other race of woman. And Bill and Melinda Gates are one of the main funders of DVHF. Found that out yesterday in the conference.
Yes.
Well,
so we have to work
with
black women not being abused domestically.
Yes, we need to take care of our own. Now, are they working from the inside out? Honestly, I just feel like that was a front from them, because it's been a lot of stuff going on, even when it came down to the George Floyd trial, and we know that verdict just came down. And it's funny because all of our systems went down, Outlook, Microsoft, all the things that we use within our company-wide system went down and blanked out 10 minutes before that verdict was read. So, I mean, all this stuff is connected. And at the end of the day, if we don't take care of our own, we're going to be asked out here. One thing I do appreciate is that we are standing up for one another, and we also do need allies. This is one thing I appreciated about Fred Hampton. I really appreciated that. Because this black man walked into a white supremacist church and said, hold up, boo, we all broke.
Yeah.
Let's get this thing together because the enemy is not white people, it's white supremacists. But when it comes down to white people, it's like having 1,000 poison snakes, and maybe within those 1,000 is 25 that aren't poisonous. So are you going to close your door to all or try to figure out which one is going to bite you and kill you or not? So, I mean, that's really how we're looking at it at this point. But can we use the allies? Yes, we can. But the enemy of my enemy is my friend until I no longer need you to be my friend.
Yes.
So that's just how I operate, and I definitely wanted to educate you guys on that when it comes down to the mental health community, because I mostly work with a lot of black men. Predominantly, a lot of the people that I work with are black men. Recently, you have a lot more black women coming out because the funding has been cut for their programs as well. Yes. So you have a lot of us on the streets. A lot of the clients that I see are pitched up in tents, sleeping on the sidewalk, under bridges. I'm out there on the streets, foot on the ground. And I see it every day. It really makes it hard to sleep at night sometimes. Like, sometimes my boss told me, look, you care too much. You can't save the world. I'm not trying to save the world, but I am trying to help as many black people, people of color that I can, the world if I can, because if black people come up, the world come up, because we started this.
Yes, I agree. Now, can you speak on the mental health issue, and now that we have where we're seeing more and more black people being killed by police officers, and it's during a mental health crisis?
Well, at the end of the day, I believe that that's systematic. Because I don't know about anywhere else, but here in Metro Atlanta, there are certain police trained that are trained in order to go out with crisis workers. One thing that I would suggest, if you have a mental health crisis or a loved one with a mental health crisis, don't call 911. Call the Georgia Crisis and Access Line. And you guys can definitely look that up if you're in Georgia. It is called the Georgia and Crisis Access Line. What they will do is they will stay in contact with you until the police get there, or they'll even send one of their own people out with the officers in order to assess you. I also know that DeKalb Crises rides out with the police as well. They're in DeKalb County. But when it comes down to the entire state of Georgia, do not call the police. Do not call 911. If you are having a mental health crisis, call Georgia Crises and Access Line. They have a 1-800 number. I don't have it.
What about for the rest of the states? Where do they call?
Now, you would have to check. I would suggest you call somebody when it comes down to mental health. Every state should have something like this in play. Unfortunately, I apologize. I can only speak for Georgia.
Okay.
I can only speak for Georgia, but it's just not safe for black people to call 911 right now. Because, I mean, just recently, there was an issue where a mentally ill man had called 911, and they ended up shooting through the door, killing this man, and it was really uncalled for. He was not an immediate threat to himself or anyone else for that matter. So, you know, you really, really need to have trained police officers out there with you if you have a loved one. And like I said, I can only speak for Georgia. Please call Georgia Crisis and Access Line. If you have a loved one that is in a mental health crisis, any other state, please figure out what is the equivalent to the Georgia and Crisis Access Line, because every state should have one. And what they do is they send mental health out with the police, or they at least have a mental health person online to make sure that nothing goes down. Because I have personally seen some of my coworkers when I was working for the crisis line stay on the phone and actually fight with the police, like, don't you do that, don't you do that, he is a veteran, don't you do that. Or he is mentally ill, don't you do that. Like, these people will fight for you. That is their job, to make sure that you do not get hurt while you're in a mental health crisis. And they do have units here in Georgia that are trained specifically for that, and they will not send out a regular officer if you call these lines. They send out a trained officer because they are not all trained. Let me say that as well.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Now, for some of the people with this mental illness, and in light of some of the things we're now seeing, black men doing these massive killings, which I think that they're sleeper cells. Now, is that part of mental illness where they can even trigger the brain and do these things that they're doing?
I'm going to say this. I met with a man who was retired military, and he stated that, you know, they would do things in order to mess with the cadets, like even speak through walls. And then when they would come and say, hey, you know, I heard this, I heard that, he would, his job was to make them think they were crazy. What? I didn't hear that. I don't know what you're talking about. I do think that there are sleeper cells, kind of like the Manchurian candidate. I think the worst place for you to be, if, especially if you're an activist or if you're a part of a specific bloodline, we're not going to ignore that certain bloodlines have been killed off, like MLK, a lot of his bloodline. They didn't mess with Malcolm X, his children, because they were mostly females. But there have been a lot of bloodlines killed off. I mean, they killed off Fred Hampton when he was only 22 years old, and they didn't want any of his bloodline to really exist like that because they're looking for the Messiah. They know where it's coming from. And if you have any itch, it's kind of like the Indigo children. I can go really deep. They knew who the Indigo children were when they were born. And a lot of these children have been diagnosed with mental illnesses. They're locked up in state hospitals. They won't let them out. So it goes very, very deep when it goes down to the mental health community because they've been using mental health hospitals for numerous reasons. I've worked in hospitals where cops have, cops' wives have divorced them, and all it takes is for a cop to make a call and they get their wives locked up for a 72-hour hold.
Yeah.
Okay? So they can use the mental health community against you because one thing I learned a long time ago is once you are on paper as crazy, nobody believes you.
Yeah.
Let's get that together. We're not going to ignore that.
But
now, I am completely for mental health treatment and all of that, but once you are on paper as crazy, they can make up anything they want.
But is that what happened with Malcolm X's grandson? Because remember, he was killed in Mexico, so they got him when he was pretty young.
Yes, ma'am, and that addiction as well, like DMX. Let's not forget that DMX stated that he was tricked into smoking crack cocaine.
He was tricked into it.
His apparently his mentor had tricked him into smoking crack cocaine. Could have put it in his weed, whatever have you. I didn't hear the whole interview, but that is something that he stated. But they knew who DMX, regardless to how much crack he smoked, he really was a man of God. He was a true believer, and he was always very transparent and up forward and upfront with his faults and what he done wrong and what he was trying to do to get himself together. And he wasn't a liar. So, you know, they know who comes from certain bloodlines. They know who can actually have a voice in order to lead the community. And they will do whatever they have to do to stifle those voices, whether it's using mental illness against you, whether it's using drugs or alcohol against you. If you have a drug or alcohol addiction, they might put people around you that will actually promote that addiction.
Oh,
and it's usually the ones closest to you. So this is something that we've even seen with some of our celebrities, Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
It was some of the closest to him.
Yeah.
So, like, when it really, really comes down to it, and like I said, during these conferences, I really get to hear the nitty-gritty, and it is diabolical. It is absolutely diabolical. And the funny thing about it is the woman that did the research on this was a white woman, 20-something years old. No black person touched it, dared to do the research on it, or maybe they stifled our voices and didn't want us to have the access or the outreach to put that out. But it was a white woman that had to do this research.
Mm.
Gay white woman.
A gay white woman?
Gay white woman put out this paper when it came down to black women trauma and the lack of support that they get. She was the only first to do it. I think it was only one other paper besides hers, but it was not as prevalent. So the whole thing was actually, let me see if I can find her name. Hold on. Like I said, I take notes. I believe her, Molly Brown.
Okay.
Her name was Molly Brown. And in the workshop that we were in, if you could find it online, it was workshop 105. It was called Prioritization, Eligibility, Limitation, Challenges, and Alternatives in Mental Health.
Oh, okay. Wow.
But in that, and lucky, you know, it's all in divine order that you were, your supervisor paid for you to be there because, you know, the spook who sat by the door is the one that's helping to free us.
Yep.
So being able to be in those places, but what I was looking and sharing, that the DSM-5, and they're having a great controversy because you got an insight to what they have been arguing with the publication of DSM-5, classifying the diagnosis for African Americans, in which they change it, and attenuated psychosis syndromes. Or you're looking at disorders that a grieving person would be looked at as having a major depression disorder. Or what you're talking about when you have to evaluate a person and saying that they can get help or they can't get help. What they've done, DSM-5 is now, you know, that's the definition of the psychiatrist's definition dictionary. And what they've done is, and luckily that we have ABSCI that is working with this because they're now fighting with the American Psychology Association. But what they're finding out that these diagnoses that they're doing are specifically geared at our people, disruptive mood regulation disorder, that gives that children in school, you know, or the ADHD diagnosis. They're changing all of these diagnoses specifically geared towards labeling and classifying our people with mental illnesses or being able to not treat them for certain things. You know, what you decline, what is it called? Mild neurocognitive disorders. And that deals with the elderly, a risk of being diagnosed of having a mental disorder when it's not a mental disorder, you know. And this is why, you know, they formulated the Association for Black Psychologists because they knew the diagnosis that white people had looked at in psychology. And the whole thing with DSM-4, I mean, the DSM really started from them diagnosing soldiers in the military. They put a bunch of psychiatrists into the military, and this is where they came up with all of these definitions of these different disorders. Plus, this was the experiment they were doing when you were talking about, what was the movie, Manchurian Project. These are the experiments that they were doing on soldiers in order for them to get definitions to label what was a mental illness. And the thing that I like with Dr., what's her name, Joy DeGruy, a post-traumatic slave syndrome, I mean, nobody had been mindful enough to take it and say, these are after effects that happen from what we were traumatized with and say, because no mental health program and the whole time of the 350 years up until the 60s and even in the 60s, because you look at the stress that went on in the 60s of the things that happened in civil rights, plus the lynchings, plus all of the years that we've been struggling to get. And now you have children living in battle zones. Okay. But then you got PTSD in children, and they're giving it a military diagnosis, but you've got children with every symptom of a PTSD soldier is in that child that's walking around in that community seeing people get killed? Or are they seeing policemen shoot people? And even more so, looking at the social media, where now you just watch, they read the verdict and showed shoot a 16-year-old girl.
Yep.
I mean, he just got sentenced for putting a knee on, and here's a white cop that goes and, no, why, even when the trial was going on, here's a white woman that shoots, you know, this young man because she's saying that she thought it was a taser. Nowhere in the world with 26 years experience on the force. Plus, in the video, it showed that she had the gun out and she was waiting till the other cop was out of the line of fire so she could fire.
Of course. Of course. But one thing that I'm also going to say when it comes down to that is one thing I've seen black people doing that we need to continue to do. There was a Army sergeant, and I'm not sure exactly where the location was, and it was shown that he was bullying a younger black kid. And, you know, he was pushing him and get the hell out of here and all this. But when these black people showed up on his lawn, baby, he didn't want that smoke. And not one of his white superheroes came to his defense. Everybody stayed in their house because at the end of the day, they need to understand if you mess with one, you mess with us all. And that works better than marching on the streets. You march on the streets when it's a police killing. But when it's an individual messing with one of us, you come to their house.
Right.
And we need to show that solidarity. I mean, because at the end of the day, one thing I'm also going to say, I don't believe in violence, but I have never seen any race of people win their freedom without it. Not even the white race. They are seen as one of the most diabolical and malicious races in the world, and they have kept that position for a reason, because they don't give a damn. And they will come for you. And we need to take that same mentality. You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't go to defending thugs, because a lot of us, you see a black person getting killed by a white person or a white cop, and, you know, you automatically go on the defense. We also need to take the emotions out of it and be able to look at the facts of the situation, because in some situations, they may have no choice.
Yeah, now, my whole thing is, what were they doing at the time that they were killed by the police?
That part.
Right.
That now, part.
Time they weren't doing anything, but just walking, or you know. Then, you don't get them at the time that they're committing the crime, and a crime where they're holding the gun and on everything else, then you have no right to kill them.
That's
this
right.
This is why the body cameras have been able to be very instrumental in speaking truth to what really happened. Because a lot of times we did not have that availability to actually, and this technology has allowed us to show them who they really are, because sometimes they don't even want to believe who they are. But what you
exactly.
do in actuality, capture them on camera and show the emotion and so the hate and the rage that's in them, they now get to see what we've been seeing for 400 years. We know who
that
you
part.
Are because we've been suffering under this lash, you know, and the thing that is now that we can use this techno-spiritual, but we still have to return back to the land because we're people of the sun and the land. And so it's a very changing time. And this is why I said about when I was talking about Earth Day, is because when I said the Overground Railroad, we're in a galactic shift. This whole solar system is in a place that it hasn't been in 26,000 years. And we're in a totally different energy shift on this planet. And this planet is changing its energy. And so what we're doing is the consciousness of every being on here, everything on the planet is shifting with this energy shift. And what we have to be is being able to look at the ascension disorder, and we have to look at the ascension symptoms of things that are going on. You're not going crazy when you start. You're getting activated, that your consciousness and your dormant DNA is being reactivated to something that you haven't been used to since they altered us. And so now we're having an opportunity with the creative force of the creator and the universe sending down the energy. This is why when you were talking about Bill Gates wanting to use Harvard Geologist Department, saying that if we do like a volcano, when it releases a sulfur plume and blocks out the sun, we can cut off the energy. That's what created part of the Ice Age in some places. The thing that we have to look at is that there is more, and they know where we are, and they know this consciousness is coming, and they're trying to distort it as much as possible. That's why they chemtrail like madness, because they knew where we were, and they knew what was coming.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. And they actually, when it comes down to the dimming of the sun, I'm a real sci-fi movie addict. And The Matrix is one of my, well, it is my favorite sci-fi movie. And it kind of reminds me of what they did in The Matrix when it talks about how they dimmed the sun or tried to affect the sun and how the machines were, you know, coming after us. And they felt like that was their only way because, you know, black people are activated by the sun. Our melanin is activated by the sun. So that would only benefit them. And I think that people should really dig deeper into that aspect because it's just on hold. It doesn't mean he's not going to be able to do it. It's just on hold right now.
But the other thing that he knows, well, what they would do is they were saying that they were going to send up balloons with certain chemicals that they would get up high enough and then they would burst and release the chemical in to put a block on the sun. But the part of
exactly.
It is that you can only do a certain area because the thing that they saw, and this is something that happened on this Turtle Island back in the 1800s, when a volcano erupted, there was no summer in America for 1 year because of this volcano that somewhere over in Europe or over that way, the cloud from it blocked out the sun and the season did not change for that year. That's how powerful that volcano was. And what we're seeing now with St. Vincent just erupting, the one in Iceland erupting, and the different volcanoes that are coming active, it means that the inner earth and this energy, that's what I'm saying about these planets and the shifting, these energies are causing our earth to change its frequency and release, because what they're looking at right now is the fear, is the tectonic plates that's pushing up against California, the Madrid fault line, that the last time it erupted, it made the Mississippi River run backwards. That's how powerful that earthquake was that hit America. And so what we're looking at, the geologists know, the same way the geologists knew when they were meeting in Santo Domingo on the other side of the mountain in January when that earthquake, and part of that was because they exploded torpedoes into that fault line that runs up under Haiti and caused that massive earthquake to kill all those people in Haiti because it was twofold, because they found $1 trillion worth of gold up in the mountains in Haiti and other mineral resources that they wanted to get out of there. And lo and behold, once they did that and got everything set up, Hillary Clinton sent her brother-in-law in there with their mining company and began to excavate all of the mineral wealth while the people still stayed poor.
That's how you do it.
that caused a great mental health.
Yeah, I can imagine that would.
Yeah, but Bobby E. Wright, he was a psychiatrist out of Chicago, and he ran the Garfield First Mental Health Center there in Chicago, Garfield Mental Health Center. And he coined the phrase, what he's called menticide, in that they have trained us so well that we have the ability to hate ourselves, that we would rather kill someone that looked like me than kill someone that's causing you the problem that you're suffering from, because we've been so well trained. But now the shift is coming, and we are waking because there is a different energy, and the energy in which is enabling us to see with the technology what we really have been, what they have really been hiding, so they can now see themselves.
Well, that's good. The only thing is, in seeing themselves, it's not improving them.
Well, you know,
I mean,
go ahead.
I think with this new generation, they actually are improving with this new generation. But what's going on is you saw the old generation running through the White House, and people have been ignoring that with other things going on in the news. We did not forget that a bunch of white supremacists took over the White House and freely did so without any of them getting shot, murdered, attacked, firebombed, any of that. America, and that is one thing I appreciate about Trump. He showed America for what it was, because they had a mask on. So what actually ended up happening is during 2020, when we had that COVID epidemic, people were forced to sit at home and see America for exactly what it was. That's why when the George Floyd thing happened, the world went off. The world, not just us, the world. When this verdict was coming up, Asia was ready. Africa was ready. Brazil was ready. Puerto Rico was ready. Everyone was ready, because when we stand up, they all stand up.
Right. And this is what they knew, and they even tried to bait it by having that officer to shoot that young man and then to win that. And of all days to have the verdict read, you know what April the 20th is?
No.
Yeah, that's 420. That's the wee day.
No, Adolf Hitler's birthday.
I didn't know that.
Yes, Adolf Hitler's birthday.
Wow.
That's deep. That's deep.
It's ritual. If you look at the way they do a lot of the ceremonies that they do, it's either with moon time, shifting with the seasons. They always use the alchemy and the power of the planets and the moon and the earth energy. They do this because they understand our alchemy. We did our ceremonies and rituals in alignment with being in the order of what's above, as above, so below. This is how we worked our science. We were trained not to do it. It was voodoo. It was crazy, spooky, spooky stuff. Astrology is all crazy. Now you see people spending thousands of dollars to get a degree in astrology and understanding the science.
I think that had a lot to do with the Orishas as well, with the Yoruba religion, because a lot of things people don't understand about the Orishas is these weren't just gods.
No.
It was more than that. It was like integrating go ahead.
But the other part, and what you're saying is that the Orishas and the thing that they were doing and what they had was the great witch hunt and all of the downing of women, because the women were the power in knowing how to do and perform the ceremonies. Because we run around here and we spit out the word spiritual, but within the word spiritual is the word ritual. You have to know the ritual to connect the spirit. If you don't, it's just saying words, and the spirit is still in trauma. But once you understand the ritual, then you empower the person to reconnect, because it's a separation of the mind and the spirit. We say mind, body, spirit, but it's really spirit, mind, body. It's because this is what psychology means. Psychology only means the spirit. Change what he studied from Egyptians and made it into a European concept of mind when it was actually spirit.
Mm. I totally agree, brother. Couldn't have said it any better.
So what are we but what are we looking at? Is that's why I say we need to create oasis, because our ancestor spirit is in the land. The earth's energy, you know, everybody talk about being shamans. Shaman, I'm a shaman, I'm a shaman, I'm a shaman. And shaman is a European word that they use for themselves, but that really the essence of the word is to be a spiritual awakening mind's assisting nature, because that's what you have to do. You have to
shamans
wake
up. Shamans are also
mind.
Shamans are usually taught from the time they can walk. Like, so I mean, it should be really easy to call them out. Exactly.
But right. But what you have now is everybody is talking about their shamans, or I'm a healer. The thing that I, like Dick Gregory says, can you make a scab? Can you grow a blade of grass? You are helper. The creator is the only one that heals. We are helpers, and we have to learn how to use the energy of nature that helps us with the creative force from the creator. This is why we're the last thing that was created on this planet.
Yes, sir. Definitely agree.
Yeah. So, and I appreciate love you doing the field work that you're doing. And the thing that we have to do is we have to, have these type of shows, but we need to get, like, we have to come to our behind closed doors, or we have to really come in nature and sit around a fire or have people under a tree, and we teach. Each one teach
I agree.
One, and we begin.
I think that's something that we've lost, because we were the lovers and the protectors of nature, and we've lost that. You can't even get a black person to go camping nowadays.
Wait a minute. I got to hold you accountable for that one, because, see, sister, I had place here down in Jackson, Georgia. Every weekend, I have 40, 50 people coming to do sweat lodges and camp out. And the sister that just did that in Atlanta bought the 97 acres. They're getting ready to build down here in Toombsboro, Georgia.
I need to get up with y'all, because the only people I know around here that's trying to go out to nature is a bunch of non-melanated brothers and sisters, and I ain't trying to be caught out in the woods with them. No offense.
No.
Like,
no.
I'm just saying.
Excuse me, y'all. Sister Ferris has her hand up, and for anyone who doesn't know, she's in the emergency room, so we want to make sure we
thought
right
she
away.
Admitted her.
Right.
Yes. Sister Ferris?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Sister Antoinette. Greetings, family. Sister.
Greetings.
Come on over here to Fort Huachuca, Arizona, and we can start a group over here in the stronghold. I feel you, brother. Since I left North Carolina and Virginia, there are no people who look like me who get off into camping. And I feel you. So just come on over here. I don't know what's going to happen, because I'm in a pickle, but I'm dealing with it as best that I can. And just come on over here. Brother Kwame, guide her over here. get my number, sister. It'll help me keep my mind off of what's going on. And family, for those who do not know why I'm in the ER, send some prayers because I have a major issue with this hardware in my body, meaning the titanium screws and everything. They need to be replaced, and I'm in a dangerous spot because of my age and because of how many invasions of experimentation they've done on me. So thank you. Just come on over here, and we can start our own group, sister. But if you're not serious, just don't call me, because I'm serious. Brother Kwame can tell you how serious this elder is.
Yes,
okay?
yes, ma'am.
And so
thank you so much.
Mr. X, they've got a...
We have my co-host that has his hand up. So you know we can't leave him.
Go ahead.
Can't leave him. Today. And this is also
we got
our number man.
Greetings.
Greetings, family. Can you hear me, my loved ones?
Yes,
I can hear you, brother.
Yes, I was just listening and been taking notes. I love the sister that says she takes notes because you know how I am, taking notes on everything to see the number behind the words that's being said. I love it. But I had to chime in as soon as I heard about our dear elder, Mother AZ, being an emergency. And again, just bringing our energy along with our prayers and our good vibrations to this year being the five, understanding that fifth surgery and the place you're getting it in is a five, my love. It's called your hip, the biggest joint in the body, that five. That's the hip. So I just wanted to chime in and let you know that all of my energy dealing with the five, and I said this is the year of the five, I'm right there with you, giving you all the energy spiritually that I can give. Love
yes,
you, Mother AZ. And I'll chime back in because there's a couple of things I wanted
you...
to touch on. Go ahead. What were you saying?
I did call you to try to tell you so you wouldn't hear it on the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
yeah, but
no. Yeah. But anyway, I'm laid back listening. I'll chime in along the way, but all of y'all know touched a whole bunch of frequencies in me, you know, dealing with numbers and the words that y'all giving that's right or on point on what we should be doing. And I feel you, my sister, when you said if they mess with one of us, they mess with all of us, because all is that five again that we own this year, because they're trying to use that five called that vaccine
yep.
is five, create the death,
yep.
and death is five. So we got to watch yep. out. Just get on the five, and like they said, it's always been hidden in plain sight. What's hidden? The number behind the words we speak. That's just my part to give us so that we can get out of this shit that we've been in. And the shit is only a program. It's only their program. All of the conversations that we talk about is the D program, same number, to get us out
mm-hmm.
what we've been put in. Out is six, in is six, program is six, and D program is six. We're getting D programmed so we can reprogram ourselves. With that, family, I'm going to put myself on mute and keep taking notes. Love you.
Okay, well, thank you.
Love you too, brother.
But Sister M, Sister X. Barbara. Anyway.
It's all good. It's all good.
I know. Anyway, for you looking for someplace to camp in, there's a brother that chimed in to me and asked me, and I have to go and inspect the land where they're doing, but they're looking at having a festival. A camp out festival, and I do the Anipe ceremony. And the festival would be May 29th and 30th, down here about a half an hour from me in Georgia. And
I would love it. I would love it.
But what the brother I had to help him on it because May 29th and 30th is the anniversary of the 100th year of Tulsa, Oklahoma massacre.
Right.
And I told him it doesn't need to be a festival. It needs to be a memorial for those ones that were massacred. And he was in very much agreement. So what I've got to do is that get back in contact with him. And they're planning this festival down here. And, you know, I'll keep you posted on what all this is going to entail for you to come bring your tent, camp out, sit around the fire, and honor the ancestors that gave their life in the massacre.
Definitely. I'll be bringing my two little ones. I have a 20-year-old daughter that's in college and also a 13-year-old son. We all dreadheads, so you're going to see us.
Well, that's good.
That's what these are our ways, and what we have to understand is we're coming back to what is naturally us. We've been programmed to be urbanized, but urban only means, see, this country was colonized, plantationized, and now it's urbanized. And each one has been a step up towards keeping us packed together so they can control the labor resource. And an urban area only means that you put 1,000 people in a square mile radius. You put 1,000 people in a square mile radius, and a country mile is longer than a city mile. And so you have more space to put people spread out, not stacked on top of each other. And these are the things that we have to understand is because urban only means that you're banned from nature because you can't get the electromagnetic energy. You can't see the stars with streetlights. And being housed on top of each other, or you look out your $200,000 home and look into the kitchen of your neighbor, you ain't got nothing but a house on a piece of lot.
Yeah.
So true.
And see, I've got black farmers over there in Alabama with the brothers doing the Overground Railroad. We've got 6 black farmers that own their own land. They built their tube houses. They're growing their seedlings to put plowing up the fields because they got John Deere's, they got the tractors and the heavy equipment to cultivate the land. And then there's a sister there in Tuskegee who has 47 acres called Victory Gardens. And what she was doing before this pandemic was that she would bring the people in to create their own garden spots. They would and have the elder black farmers come in and show them how to lay their rows and what plants to put together and what doesn't go together in order for them to know and to create a good crop. So we're doing the work and we're reconnecting back to the land because there are many organizations, even in the urban area. There's the sisters in Chicago that took a vacant lot and made raised gardens, and they're growing food right there in the city of Chicago.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
Right, and this is what it did because I helped open up a school in Maryland. The sister bought 5 acres, and we took the pole barn and turned the barn into a school where she was working with abused women and young ladies and taking them through the rites of passage and teaching them womanhood training. And she had 16. When I met her, I asked her, I said, "Sister, you've been helping all of these sisters, and you sending them out there to broke men. We got to change this. We got to get the men in here." And so we started doing the men rites of passage and began to train the men. And all the men that I took out and worked with, they all came back off of their vision quests. And the first thing they said that the spirit told them, they have to stop they have to stop, they have to break the generational curses that has been going on in the man and their family that they needed to stop. It worked.
I totally agree with that. And yeah. I think that that's something that we have lost through the generations, because I'm 41 years old, and I remember back when I was a kid, or a child, we would always have the older women to take the younger women under their arms, and mm-hmm. the older men to take the younger men under their arms. We've lost that during these days, and I really feel like us as the older generation, we have to blame ourselves, and we are the ones that have to correct the mistakes when it comes down to this, because this new generation really isn't playing, because it wasn't us out there in the streets. I know I wasn't out there in the streets. I wasn't out there in the streets. I was watching on television, the safety of my home. Now, my daughter is 20 years old. Her friends were out there in the street. So it's like, you know, this is a new generation, and I feel like this is our time to basically, if we've lost that teaching, this is our time to pick it up. It's the time now. It's really the time. It's time for the older generation to get off of our hands, and more conversations like these need to happen in more public spaces. I mean, I don't care if we have to shout on a microphone. One thing that I appreciate about the Jehovah's Witnesses is they come into your doorstep. And that's something that we need to promote more of, is coming to your doorstep. Just like we need to promote coming to your doorstep. If you mess with one, you mess with all. But these teachings need to come back out, and I really feel like this falls on us, because I feel like a lot of us dropped the ball, and I'm speaking about my generation. I don't know how old you are, but like I said, I'm 41, and I felt like my generation kind of dropped the ball.
Well, I have to tell you, you know, I'm 70 plus.
Oh, okay. You grown. My bad.
Yeah.
He's grown.
I'm seven plus. Yeah. All right. So the thing that I'm looking at is what we did today, and what we had the young professor at this indigenous college had the classes and the provost and all of them to agree that they were going to spend the next 3 hours in listening to the elders from around the world teach them about what they had to learn about Earth Day and the teachings of it. And this is what we have to do. I mean, we have to stop being, as an elder, I've only got one other thing to become, is an ancestor. And I had to learn that I have to stop being a generational thief. Because when an elder dies, a set of encyclopedia goes into the earth. And so what we have to do is pass on to you, who are the young wisdom keepers. You are the keepers of the wisdom that you're now learning as you become mothers and fathers, but also the teachings from the grandparents and the parents. And this is what we have learned, because these are our old ways, in which the elders sat and we talked, just like you said, you tutelage, the aunties, the grandmothers. We would do what we call kitchen table university. In every home, you learn mostly about life at your mother's kitchen table. You did your homework, you ate, and you got school at the kitchen table. Because the women would get young girls and bring them in the kitchen and sit down while they're cooking, and all of them get to talking to that young girl about what she's getting ready to experience.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
This is our way. And what we're doing now, and we got technology, and the techno-spiritual is good because it keeps us being able to see what's going on quicker and faster and being able, but we still got to come back home to nature. That was the first internet. The roots are interneted into the earth, and they talk to each other.
I agree.
Yes. Now, Sister X, I want to ask, now there's a reason why we add on for the notice that you were Sister X. So do you care to tell us what you're working on now?
Well, right now I am working on building up a I can't do YouTube. They don't want me on YouTube. I went by M. Mitchell. They took down my initial channel. Everybody has been asking where I was. A lot of people thought the government killed me. I'm alive.
Yes, and we're grateful. We're grateful that you are.
I'm alive. It's just that a lot of things transpired, and I need to take a step back. But, you know, I did two test videos where I actually showed my face on YouTube, anti-sheeple pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
But and those went fine because I was talking about surface issues, entertainment issues, basically just testing the water. But when I actually did a professional video where I actually had the introduction, everything like that, they had never seen that from M. Mitchell before. YouTube blocked it. Like, I think it stayed up for an hour. And they were like, you know, you can't talk about vaccines or no. Like, all I said was, listen, Bill Gates had a conference. He was interviewed where he stated that, you know, he felt like human beings were an issue to the earth. And when he came down with this scientific equation, it involved getting rid of human beings. We also want to bring up the issue that happened in Africa with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. We're not just going to ignore that. And that's why so many black people, such as myself, are paranoid about getting that vaccine. That's all I said. They blocked my whole stuff. And then they struck me. They said, you know what? You can't even upload no more videos. You got three strikes. I only had two videos. I got three strikes. At that point, it's really comical. At that point, I just went to Spotify. I put my podcast up on Spotify. So I'm also in the process of moving from one side of town to another side of town. So, the videos that I was starting to put up every week, I had to put a halt on that. But, at the end of the day, I'm coming back, but it will not be on YouTube. I'll basically be doing Spotify and speaking with Miss Antoinette up here. And that's basically it. I do have my Facebook page. My other Facebook page was taken down. They said that it was offensive and too many people complained. That Facebook page had quite a large following. I had to come up with another one. And I also have a Instagram page. And the only way I was able to accumulate over 1,000 followers on this Instagram page was by showing pictures of my dog. I know it's sad, but if they would have seen me, it would have been an issue. they would have shut it down immediately.
Yeah, and also you have problems even getting into this show.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. And Brother Kwame does also. Does as well. That's when he tries to come in, his comes up a 404 as well.
Like 404 error message.
Yeah.
File not found.
Right.
That's exactly what it says. 404.
Right.
I'm laughing because you have to laugh to keep from crying because it's like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
Right. But they, you know, there's an excellent book by Ruha Benjamin. It's called Race and Technology. And they have created the algorithms to read and to create these racial distortions within the techno-spiritual world. And now they're more censoring because of what they're able to do in writing the codes and being able to read what we're saying, what we put out
mm-hmm.
there, because soon as you take down a Bill Gates video, it goes into your IP address, and your IP address is your identification, just like your Social Security number. And as soon as it hits that, it already flags you that this person is doing something that is detrimental to, quote-unquote, Bill Gates. And so that's how they follow and track us. But what we have to begin to learn how to do is use the people that are – the young people that have the savvy and the know-how to
some of the, excuse me, the greatest hackers are young people that all they do is sit up in their rooms on their computers and laptops and figure out ways how to get in and code and break through to get what they want to get to and find out the information they want to.
Smart
so
as
the
hell.
Part of it
yep.
is, right, and the part of it is that we have to get with the generation under us that they're born into this. We,
yeah.
me,
yes, they are.
I only seen technology when I seen Flash Gordon and read Dick Tracy with a watch on his arm and say, wow, that is fantastic. He got a radio on his watch, and he's a super cop. That's how I came up, you know, understanding sci-fi. And, I mean, I watched Star Trek. Star Trek was the thing. Read Octavia Butler. You know, we had some great sci-fi writers. But what we have to do is that the generation, like Frantz Fanon says, each generation out of relative obscurity must either we fulfill the mission or we will all perish. And so
yeah.
it's through our children that we live, because your 20-year-old daughter now has your grandchildren eggs in her body.
Mm-hmm.
That's three generations. Three generations. You carried her. She came into the world. Now she's getting ready to produce the next three generations. If she doesn't get genetically modified through the altering of the mRNA. And that's what they're looking at, because it's in the genetics that they're doing. And this is where the attack of what science is doing. They're genetically, they've already got us in the cellular level by the poisoning of the food. We're being now attacked at the gene. This is why Henrietta Lacks' cells were so important, because if you look at why did, what's our President Biden, take Alondra Nelson and put her on his human genome panel, or whatever you call the people that work for him up under him. But what he
mm-hmm.
did was put her on because she is a scientist, a black woman scientist who wrote the book The Social Life of DNA, Race, Reparation, and Reconciliation After Genome. The Human Genome mm-hmm. Project, and genome just says G-E-G, know me. That's where they're going, to eliminate us. G,
oh, wow.
know me. That's what the word says. G, know me.
Yes, it does. And that's exactly the way how it's spelled. Yes, oh, wow.
Right in your face. And
yeah.
that's how they do it. It's right in your face.
Sight.
In plain
right.
sight. And you just don't want to believe it. You like, no, this got to be a coincidence. But
no,
nothing
but
is a coincidence with these people.
No.
Yeah.
And see,
wow.
the thing that's happening is it's the women. This is why we're in the age of Aquarius, because we're in the age of the divine feminine and the sacred. I mean, yeah, the divine feminine and the sacred masculine, because we're having the women to go into these brick and mortar institutions and come out and learn the techniques and the technology. This is why you have STEM, science, technology,
mm-hmm.
engineering, and math, is a women's program that started by black women in the science field and teaching young girls how to be science. Because NASA couldn't have got that rocket off of there if it hadn't been for black women. And they wasn't Harvard and Yale and Princeton graduates. These were HBCU graduates that knew mathematics, that went to colored schools, that saved this country, space race. But there's a book called The Disordered Cosmos, A Journey into the Dark Matter, Science Times, and Dreams Deferred. And Chanda Prescott Weinstein, her mother's an activist, and Margaret Prescott. But she is one of the first black astrophysicists. She's looking at, of all things, physics and melanin and the connection to the cosmos. That's how deep she is.
Yes. Okay. Can y'all hold your thoughts?
We're going to take a five-minute break. Y'all get something to drink, whatever you need to do. And we're going to take this break real quick, and we'll be right back with you in 5 minutes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Winter turns to spring, a wounded heart will heal, but never much too soon. Yes, everything must change. The young become the old, and mysteries do unfold, 'cause that's the way of time, nothing and no one goes unchanged. Thank you.
We're back. Brother Kwame and Sister X, y'all with me?
Yes, I just had to get off mute.
Okay.
I'm here. I'm eating at the same time. I'm sorry, but I'm here.
Okay, great. And enjoy your meal. You're fine. Now, Brother Kwame and Sister X, with everything that we know that's going on in the world today and the parallel how the earth affects your mental state as well. Do y'all care to address that? Oh, wait a minute. We have Brother Eddie with us again, which is a good thing. It's always good. Brother Eddie?
Yes, I'm here. You was asking Brother Kwame a question, and I'll wait until he gives you his answer to the question you were asking.
Okay. Brother Kwame?
Okay, and can you repeat that again? Because you're saying parallel, but I didn't get all of it.
Oh, with mental illness and the earth, what's going on in the earth with the earth shifting and the moon. I mean, I always, you know, with the moon, you know, I know I was always told that when there's a full moon, that's when people act really crazy.
True. That's where they get the word lunatic from, lunar. But the other part that you're talking about is very much a crave, because that was a perfect song to play. Everything must change. And within our life, everything is changing because we're changing positions. The universe is constantly moving. And this solar system that we're in is constantly moving. And it's constantly changing the cosmic consciousness of everything on this planet, and along with all the other nine planets that follow in line. And so we just had a major change in the energy that we're getting here on this planet that is affecting the consciousness of December 21st, when Jupiter and Saturn aligned in Aquarius at 0 degrees. You had a major shift when you talked about all of those people attacking the Capitol and going up there. That's when Mars went into Taurus. Mars is the planet of war. Taurus is the bull. That stampede that they stampeded into it. This is why I say we have to look at what's going on above. This is why, you know, Thoth wrote the Emerald Tablets and saying, as above, so below. Because Thoth is below, and the keeper of the cosmic library is Sekhmet. That was his cosmic wife, his galactic wife. And Sekhmet is the keeper of astronomy, the creator of astronomy, astronomy, arithmetic, and architect. Architect, structuring.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's who she is, and she conveys to him, and he wrote and put down the things that helped to build the Kemetic. This is why you just saw on the day before Easter, that Saturday, the opening of the gym, the great Egyptian museum, the fourth great pyramid that sits right beside Harem Het, which is the Sphinx, which represents Leo. Because he's representing Leo, because Leo is the opposite of what? Aquarius. We're back in the time of Aquarius. This is why they had to bring those 22 mummies out of there, because there's a frequency shift on this earth. And what it's doing is changing the consciousness of every human and being on here. And so what you're having, that's why I was talking about ascension disorder. People are getting now and saying, okay, I'm getting ringing in my ear. That's because your hearing is changing frequencies of the sounds in which you're going to be able to pick up. Your heart palpitations is because you're walking in energy that is now shifting, and this is causing your heart to have a different rhythm. You're waking up in the middle of the night because this is when the energy from the universe is more present, is at the night. This is when the veil is lifted. This is when the energy comes down from the planet and the stars and those things out in our galaxy. That's why you can go out at certain times and places on the planet and look up and see the whole Milky Way over your head. The whole
Milky
Way.
I'm so glad you said that, because I felt like I was going crazy.
No, you're not going. And see, this is why they're changing and trying to change the mental definition, because people's consciousness is changing. What and rain? What do you say on the song you just played? Rain falls from the sky. What did I say earlier about water? That's why the ice caps are melting. Those ice caps and icebergs have been frozen for a million years, so they have pure consciousness and memory that now is being released into the atmosphere, going up into the clouds and raining down on us. And it changes. This is why when you saw in The Secret, Emoto was showing you that you can write love and freeze it and it will make a perfect snowflake. You put hate on that another glass of water and it will make a distorted, because water holds memory and consciousness. And so what we're shifting is because we're 70% water and our brains is about 80% water. This is why we're having the neural nets and all of this talking about friendships, relationships. We've got to learn how to navigate these new neural nets, and this is where they're attacking with the genes and the nanoparticles and being able to try to alter the frequency of our consciousness raising. I hope that answered your question.
I think that answers the universe's question right there. That was the whole education. And I definitely appreciate it. And that definitely gave me some enlightenment and something else to look into as far as when it comes down to studying. Because I'm one of those people where when you give me information, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I want to eat. And you just gave me some food. And I appreciate that.
Right. But just like you say, you take notes. So just look up ascension disorder. It'll give you a whole listing of all the different things that this energy is changing and how we perceive certain things, because we are energy. The human body is energy. We just got bone and muscle and all of that to move the spirit around in, but we're pure energy for the most part. And so what we do is that we have energy that's falling, coming from the sun, the moon, the stars, is coming down at night. And so what we're doing is that we are to be in alignment with it. But when you're sitting in a 5G house with Wi-Fi and you got electrical lights on all over the place, it's hard for energy to get to you. Try to get up under the door or try to get through the bars on your window and find a way in there to get to you. But when you come out in nature and you're walking on the earth and barefooted, when the 7.82 Schumann frequency is coming through the earth, through the sole of your feet and going up into your body, and then you having the sun or the moon and stars coming down and bathing your crown, you become a photon. You become
that's
an
why I
want to
go
on the earth. Right. And when you sleep on the earth, just like Miss Mama AZ, when she goes out and does, she digs holes. It's called earthing. It is a science that is old as indigenous people. We know when you can take a person and dig a hole and put them and lay them in it, you align the frequency of their body back. When I tell people when they come out of the sweat and they feel in a certain, lay them on their stomach, because I tell you to lay on your stomach because your umbilical cord connects to the earth mother. And so these are all the ways in which we were taught how to use Mother Earth's energy. Ascension disorder, and there's another one. I have to get it, but I'll send it to you. And you can read the signs of these things, and that lets you know that you're not going crazy. You're just getting prepared for the new shift.
That's can I be heard, family? I don't want to interrupt the flow. It's going good.
You're fine, Brother Eddie.
Okay, and I wanted to get in before my sister X finished eating, since she was eating, give her time to eat and let her food just go on, really marinate.
I'm still smacking. I'm still smacking.
Okay, so you touched me. You touched me because, like Sister Antoinette and Brother Kwame knows, I am the numbers man. And when you start mentioning numbers and it was personal to you, those numbers hit me personal. And it happens to be the ages of you and your children. And I am so happy that you corrected yourself when you used the term kid and reconnected and said, no, I mean child. So
yes,
you corrected, because I was like, and you heard, I was like, I love it, because the energy is there. But again, those numbers of 13, 14, Metaphysics 101 are the numbers of my book. And when you gave me all of you all ages by mentioning that, 13 was your son, 14, which is 41 in reverse, is you, and 101, which is 2 or 20, is your daughter. I was like, look at this, look at this. Because something else that touched me, I wanted to give you this story of when you said we're all dreadheads. No, 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 my love. I have locks myself. But that was an old story, that this is how the Caucasus people praised us that came down, that were at that bottom of the mountain. When they came down, they met the locks, but they dreaded us, and they referred us as dreadlocks, because the locks are the key that locks the information in our hair, and we have locks. That's why they all want to have locks. That damn Goldilocks, okay? Those damn Jews that want curls that they call locks. Everybody wants what we have that's natural, and they know the information that coils around that makes that lock is embedded. And every time in history that we go through this shift, and if you notice, when our hair becomes long, because the old story in the Bible is Samson and Delilah and the cutting of his hair, which gave him power. Hair is 17. Samson is 17. But understanding on that 41 or 14, which is a 5, we referred to our hair when it came out as a fro. Afro, 14. A 5. Now we're wearing our hair with the locks. They're threatened because they know. This is why you see very, very few black men on television or newscasting that has hair or locks. It's very few. This is why they pushed Michael Jordan with a bald head, Steve Harvey with a bald head, Shaquille O'Neal, and so many others, pushing this European bald look, because they know the hair represented the rebellion. But I wanted to just share that with you, that locks, even by the number of locks itself, represents 13. 13 is the number of God. This is why they don't want us to go towards the number 13. They want us to fear it. It's a word I can't think of right now. It's a phobia for 13, the word 13. There's no 13th floor in certain buildings. you know, so why 13? And they use 13 in the acronyms of everything they use. USA comes to 13, FBI comes to 13, so forth and so on. They know the power of the number that we never recognize behind everything we're saying. And just to even touch on right quick of what Kwame was talking about, it's a disease that they call tinnitus, which is a disorder of the ear, if you want to
ringing of the ear.
But when you look at the
number.
My
daughter has tinnitus. She's been suffering from tinnitus. It's funny you brought that up. My daughter has tinnitus. She's been suffering from it for like the last 6 months.
And it's not a disease because, see, even, like I said, by number, I look at the number of everything. Tinnitus comes up to 38. 3 plus 8 is 11. 1 plus 1 is 2. Ear comes up to 2. This is why they even called it tinnitus, because it deals with the ear. But when we understand that number of 13, 14, or 4 and 5, when we look at ringing in the ear, ringing is 31. That's 4. That's God. That's spiritual. That's information. When we look at buzzing, it's 23, a 5. That lets us know it's danger. Danger is 23, a 5. These are signals from the spiritual, the universe being 2, which gives us communication. Communication is 2, directly to our ear, 2 that goes directly to the mind, 2. We're not connected to the numbers of the English word of the occult that we speak. This is only my part of giving everything that we're talking about. When I use that phrase, and it's a term that comes from Parliament, you have overcome, for I am here. Everybody runs to the religion of the Bible and what it refers to them. Yes, it's partially that, but it's the number behind what I am refers to. It comes to 7, and we all been talking about it. I am here. 7 is here. What is 7? Aquarius, we just said, is 7. This is the age of Aquarius. Nature is 7. This is the age of nature. Consciousness is 7. This is the nature, the age of consciousness. This is why we all talking on a conscious level right now. It's all the number in the word that we speak in. It's the natural nature of the vibration of a conversation that we're supposed to be vibing with, that gives us the energy, that gets us out of the shit we've been put into. Excuse my French, but the shit ain't no more than a program by number for me. So stop shitting on me with their program. That's not nobody on this panel. Don't get me wrong, but I've heard enough people shit on me, even when they give me stuff. I appreciate it, but if you ain't did no research on what you want me to look at, it's no more than a gossip, hearsay, and rumor. At least give me your opinion. Give me something that you not read that sticks out with me to put something on my mind other than what they and them are talking about. To hell with that. That's why we can't get off of their shit. It's not enough about us, and we can fix us when we even gravitate and communicate on the right frequencies with the right words and the conversations we speak. Love you, family. That's all I had to add with that.
Thank you, Brother Eddie.
Make it real compared to what?
Appreciate you.
Yeah. All right, Chief Brother Eddie, you're not on this side with me tonight. Brother Eddie usually reminds me of the time, y'all, and I'm bad with it. But I happened to look up, and so let me ask you, Brother Tommy, do y'all want to go over? We can. If not, then we can close it out in 11 minutes.
I need to actually go. I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay.
Well, we appreciate the time that you were with us. And, just let me know when you want to come back.
Anytime. You just going to have to call me because, you know, anytime I try to call you, it's a problem.
I know, and we'll work on that. We'll work on it.
But, all right. God bless. I appreciate y'all.
Sister X.
We appreciate you.
Sister X.
And we have a question. Go ahead. Go ahead, Brother Kwame.
No. Is she gone?
I think she's still here.
I'm still here right now.
Yeah, you're still here.
Okay, yeah, I just sent you the information that I was talking about on the ascension symptoms.
Okay.
And I also
and
wrote that down.
I also want to say thank you, and I love your vibration and frequency. And like I said, your number of the age of dealing with where I am, I love it. I'm like Kwame. I'm not as old as he is, but I'm 61. So, yeah, I've been around the block a couple of times here. So, but I'm loving the vibration because, like you said, it's not just your generation. I started with myself of the last part of the baby boomers of Kwame's generation that dropped the baton. See, we didn't know that we had to pull up the last leg of the pure thought. Another Parliament lyric, just using it my way. We pulling up the real thought, baby. But if we ain't giving them nothing to fight with, we giving them the same shit we've been taught to regurgitate, the same nonsense that kept us in this damn proverbial circle of nonsense. But with that, I love you, Sister Kwame, and Brother Sister Antoinette. We'll talk on our show next Wednesday. Peace and love.
Yeah.
All right, peace and love, brother.
We'll be back on Wednesday. Oh, thank you so much. Y'all make sure that you tune in to
Did everybody go off?
I think Antoinette dropped too because they were on the same line. So I guess they died.
Right.
But anyway.
Right.
All right, bro. Well, thanks a lot, man.
All right, fam.
All right, bro.
You stay up. Peace and love.
Peace and love.